want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
Then you want Dave Hodges.
The Common Sense Show. You can't dodge the Hodge.
Live from the Great American Southwest, coming to you in the rural deserts outside Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges, host of the Common Sense Show, coming to you proudly on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And thanks to Dr. Sam Kennedy for that very thrilling and enlightening program. And, of course, you've got Dave Hodges and the Common Sense Show now. And following us, you've got Terry Anderson and What's the Latest at the Border. But right now, we really have a great show for you. Backed by popular demand to talk about his latest web bot, and he'll be joining us right after the first break, is Cliff. And as we know, Cliff tends to, shall we say, erase your sensitivities, maybe even frighten us a little bit. But his track record is impeccable. His delivery is entertaining. But his message may not be one that you want the little kids to hear. So like I'm doing with my soon-to-be 9-year-old boy, I have him out of the room, and Mom is instructed not to let him listen to his dad on the radio tonight. And I've also got further bad news. We will not be doing our under-the-radar news segment tonight, and I know that will disappoint some of you, but I have good news. We will be having Annie DeRiso on tonight to help me conduct the interview with Cliff. And as you know, Annie is our chief correspondent for our under-the-radar news segment. So without further ado, let's go to Tennessee and welcome Annie to the show. Hi, Annie. Well, are you with us? Oh, there you are.
Yes, I'm here, and it's definitely going to be a lock and load night.
Well put. Well put. But as we know, Cliff came out with his latest WebBot report, and he's got quite a few appearances lined up, doesn't he, Annie? And are we kind of at the front of the line on this?
Yes. Go to Half Past Human, and you can see his interviews that are coming up, yes. And there's also a link on there where you can go and listen to some of his past shows to fill in, because, I mean, it would take a six-hour show to do the whole report that he's got tonight. So,
well, no question. Know. And we're really grateful to Cliff to agree to come on, because his report just came out this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I encourage everybody to go to Half Past Human and order the report. You can just send him a check if you want, you know, and he'll send it right out to you if you don't want to use PayPal. But it's 58 pages, and it is a humdinger, for lack of a better word.
Yes, from what I've read, I made sure that I told my lovely wife, Nora, not to let my son, JT, listen to the show, as I just indicated a few moments ago. This is hair-raising stuff. And
yes,
I read some of what you had sent me and forwarded to me on the report. And we've always talked about these days coming. And you and your late significant other, Bill Pollack, and I used to spend many late hours talking about these things. And I think Bill would be quite amazed, as we are right now, that we're on the precipice of great social change. I just told some of my students the other day, without even addressing specific issues, that they live in the time that history books are going to devote quite a bit of attention to.
And monuments built, and I think Bill would be very proud of us. I mean, when we started this show a year ago this month, we had no idea what we were getting into, did we?
No, we didn't. In fact, happy birthday to us in the Common Sense Show. It was 1 year ago today that we joined the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we're eternally grateful to John Stadtmiller for this great opportunity and the great service that he is also providing to the American people. But, yeah, it's been 1 year, Annie, and it's hard to believe we've done 50 shows. And to answer your question, no, I didn't quite know what I was getting into. When I was doing local radio here in Wickenburg, Arizona, we talked about a lot of things like the North American Union and the corrupt nature of the Federal Reserve System and how we needed to abolish it. But there wasn't really these impending timelines that were crushing down upon us, threatening to immediately change our lives. And we're there. We're right here at this point in time. And we come back from the break, we're going to find out just how close we really are. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Cliff from the WebBot and my co-host tonight, Annie DeRiso, after a word from these sponsors.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
Attention, ladies! Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of 4 expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Power to the people. That's what we try to make the Common Sense all about. And joining me as co-host tonight is our favorite under-the-radar news correspondent. In fact, she's our only under-the-radar news correspondent, Andy DeRiso. And joining us for the balance of the show will be Cliff from the WebBot. And we've had Cliff on several times since the summer. And with each appearance that Cliff makes on our show, his predictions seem to get closer and closer in their inevitability. And they seem to become more accurate and more crystal clear. And because this 2 hours is going to go very quickly, and we really need about 6 hours to do this interview, let's not waste time. Let's go straight to the West Coast, to an unknown location. I'll let Cliff tell you where he is if he wants to, and introduce Cliff from the WebBot. Hi, Cliff. How you doing?
Doing just fine. I'm actually out here in the Pacific Northwest and near latitude 47 north and 122 west. It's frozen here today and a little bit snowy, so...
Is that cold weather all over the country?
Yeah, the kind of bad news for you guys, though, because it blows from where we are your direction.
Yeah, but our bad days here might get down into the 30s at night outside Phoenix. You remember, we're on the far side of the sun.
That's true. So, that's true.
So we do
used
pretty
to think
well.
We were so protected, but we've been having days that are 4 degrees.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
It's a little on the chilly side, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. And so I guess that'll give those people at the global warming conference at Copenhagen something to talk about.
You know, the real problem with all of this, of course, is that it's now muddied the whole issue of climate change, because climate change is what we're facing. Whether it's going to go cold or hot is anybody's guess. And in fact, there was a debate among scientists in the late 40s and early 50s as to the oscillation factor, which was first proposed by Isaac Asimov. And Isaac Asimov said, gee, guys, whenever we head into an ice age or into a death spiral such as is in Venus, there's a period of time in which we oscillate between extreme cold and extreme hot temperatures. And if we end up settling on extreme hot, we're all kind of screwed because then the oceans get to the point where they can't support life. And really, the good thing is to have an ice age. It really is what refreshes the oceans, which starts our whole ecosystem in a curative process, if you will. And so now that the debate about climate change is all caught up in the politics, when in fact the climate is changing. It doesn't matter how much you want to disagree with it, whether it's getting warmer or colder is kind of immaterial, and that's also a local effect. The real issue is the amount of precipitation in the atmosphere, how much it can hold in relation to the amount of carbon dioxide and the temperature. And we're getting to a point where we're at a huge extreme, and if we're lucky, as a planet, we'll go into an ice age. And that's really the best thing we could hope for all the way around. There's rather some nasty news, though, I hear from, and I'll have to read the book, I haven't gotten to it yet, about from the guy who wrote the Fire and Ice, not by fire, but by ice.
Robert Felix, yes.
Correct,
Felix.
Yeah, I was trying to think of his name. I'm terrible with authors, but I remember content pretty well. But in any event, he's got a new book out about magnetics, about magnetic reversals, and I guess one of the precursors is indeed a period where you get extreme cold in a particular set of latitudes relative to where the center of the pole is, the magnetic pole is located. And, of course, we're sliding right into that.
So we could have a magnetic shift that leads to a crustal shift?
Yes, and here's the real problem. I mean, there's no sense in avoiding the issues. There's many different things now pointing to a set of circumstances relative to geology that we never really figured could exist. It used to be that everybody said, well, you cannot have a crustal shift without extra mass coming into the solar system. We know that that is not true anymore because a magnetic push, sort of a giant magnet pushing a little magnet, could send a little magnet clear across the table if you brought the big magnet close to it on a repelling force very suddenly. And it's that magnetic whirring around in the inner core of the Earth that can cause the crust to shift because of other factors. We also have issues relative to where the ice is located and so on that all bring us back to the idea that a really worst-case scenario of a magnetic shift leading to a crustal shift is indeed probable. The level of probability is anybody's guess, but anytime you start getting into denial about that probability, you must take into account the actions of the powers that be who are out there desperately building doomsday shelters and all of this kind of thing.
And playing with our weather.
Yes, yes, and that may well be a desperate attempt to throw up shields against this effect or who knows what.
Well, in your Webbot report, I believe you say something in there about storms disrupting transshipments of food.
Yes, indeed, and it's going to get much worse.
Can you talk about that?
The issue for us is that it appears to be in the bot reports, we get a collection of data that seems to indicate that a horizontal banding is going to start occurring within our atmosphere, that there's going to be a major change in that regard. Nowadays, we might sit here and as a regular human on the planet, you have your local weather effect, but you're not necessarily aware of events that form larger patterns around that weather. In other words, I'm getting the wind here off of the Pacific, but I'm not really aware of how it's affecting the Chinese or whether it's coming down off the Russian mountains or that kind of thing. Where our wind is coming from, to a certain extent, is rather variable. Sometimes we get Pineapple Express. Other times we get something from the Gulf of Alaska, different effects and moisture, cold, etc. The data seems to suggest that this is going to get into a period of horizontal settling, if you will, such that we'll start getting storms that will just pretty much stick to a latitude, very much like we would see in Saturn or the other gas giant, Jupiter, and go trucking around that latitude over and over and over again. And so, for instance, if you had a storm form in the upper 40s where I'm at, it might take only 4 or 5 weeks to go trucking around the planet, depending on how fast it's pushed. But the idea seems to be a level of extreme storms that will settle in on temperate zones that will most affect developed worlds. We seem to have less indication for stuff around the equator, but the temperate zones are going to get really, really hammered here. And it's an issue of precipitation. And once again, every time we get these kind of things, we like to go on out and validate what's happening in reality. And sure enough, we're finding that the atmosphere is at all-time highs for the amount of water that's that's out there relative to the carbon dioxide. The whole issue on the political side of, oh, humans are out there breathing out too much carbon dioxide through their machinery or through their persons or their cows or whatever, to a certain extent is spurious, simply because a couple of good burps from a methane hydrate layer in the Pacific could outdo us all hundreds of times over. However, it is true. We're at the highest level of carbon dioxide in, saturated into the air that has ever occurred insofar as we're able to measure back, given our current understanding of the ice. And that's basically where they're taking it from, is ice cores. And that can be a little spurious. I hate to get too divergent into weird science here, but if you believed that the Antarctica had been covered by ice for millions of years, then you could make certain assumptions about how fast that ice accumulated and mark off little millimeter bands and so on. However, if you believed that that ice was, say, less than 100,000 years old, then that throws your patterns in terms of what you think climate was like back when total into disarray. And we're probably into that latter state. We probably really don't know how long that ice has been there. Some sections of it may have only been there 11,000 years, and yet we're making the assumption that it was there for millions.
Isn't this precipitous of a pole shift that could be coming?
Correct.
Well, tell us about that.
Well,
you have these change in weather patterns, and so pick it up from there, please.
Yeah, the change in weather patterns is not limited to the planet Earth. We're finding even on the moon that there's reactions occurring. So, and throughout the entire solar system, we have vast quantities of change, even in these last 8 years. But in total, perhaps these last 45 or 50 years is a better time to look at it all. And the situations that have occurred relative to our knowledge of the planets seems to indicate that while our knowledge is going up due to the number of things we've got out there sampling for us, at the same time, we've become aware of another pattern in that the climate change is accelerating on all these planets. And we know that the rate of our growth of knowledge is not actually producing this effect. In other words, the climate change has not always been there. It's really accelerating. The climate change may indeed be a function, since we're in a basically what amounts to an electromagnetic illusion of a solid universe. The climate change throughout the whole solar system could be explained by, if you will, a tightening level of magnetics that's occurring within our solar system itself. Whatever the root cause of those tightening magnetics, sort of our big squeeze theory, or language which we've had for a number of years, the more you pressure a magnetic containment vessel with outside magnetic lines, the more the thing heats up. And that appears to be the effect that we're having all over the solar system. Whether locally it's being produced as on Earth as extreme cold in some areas and so on. A lot of that's related to moisture. In areas like in Mars, for instance, we're getting a situation showing up where it's much more indicative of what really happens. The lower amount of moisture on Mars has allowed us to see a more distinct warming trend from what I think of as this large squeeze coming from the sun. And then, and coincidentally, probably very meaningfully, the sun has been without sunspots in any kind of a real fashion for a number of months. In fact, the longest we've ever observed. And the sunspots that we have had have been really strange in the sense that they appear, they're little tiny spots, and then they disappear extremely rapidly, whereas we're used to a much longer duration of sunspots. And if our theory of magnetic squeeze is correct, then basically what's happened is the rotational delta, the difference between the speed of rotation of the sun's equator and the speed of rotation of the sun at the pole, has over time, these last 11,802 years now, gotten us to a point where the magnetic lines of flux around the sun are all twisted around themselves, and they've like packed down around the sun the way yarn would be wound down around like a croquet ball, until the yarn from the two poles, so to speak, on your croquet ball meets in the equator. And that, we think, is basically what's occurring. And at some point, that's going to break, probably produce a giant bulge of magnetic release, which may flip our internal magnetically sensitive plasma core within the planet Earth and thus trigger a magnetic flip and then, you know, north to south poles actually flip.
I want to pick up on that. We come back from the break because I do want to talk about the flip and coastal shiftage. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Cliff after a word from these sponsors.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Joining us tonight on the Common Sense Show is Cliff from the Webbot. And Cliff is, we went to the break and we're also joined by Annie. I wanted to mention that you were talking about a flip, and you're talking about a complete pole shift of a magnetic shift going from north to south. What kind of rotation shift will we get? Will it be 1%, 3%, 4%?
No, the historical mean appears to be about 30% in a shift of the continents. The issue is the following. It's really curious, for instance, that everybody thinks we live on a sphere, and we don't really. It's what's called an oblate spheroid, and so we're fatter. The Earth is fatter at the middle than it is at the poles. So if you were to take the diameter of the Earth at the poles, you get a difference in versus the equator. You get a total difference of almost 26 miles, which, of course, since we're in a 26,000-year, the number 26 just keeps coming up and up, precession cycle distance from the galactic equator is 26 1,000 light years and so on. Nonetheless, there's this 26-mile bulge around our equator, 13 miles on each side. And so that bulge prevents the continents from shifting around. It's kind of like the key to the whole system because it locks the water mass and the centrifugal force and all these other forces together. If the magnetic shift occurs the way that it has potential to, what happens is that the poles in the plasma reverse, and as they reverse, they generate a lot of friction, and to a certain extent, it kind of like pressurizes the internal part of the Earth a bit, and the plates, if you will, it'd be kind of like a crust on a balloon, and you just give a little bit more pressure on the balloon, and the crust starts to separate on its natural fracture lines. At that point, the potential exists for the bulge on the Earth to go away as the as the plasma within the center of the Earth flips. When that can occur, when that occurs, the crust can shift. Then there, but the bulge only goes away for a brief period of time. For that brief period of time, when the rotation slows enough that the centrifugal force is parted, but it is still maintained in the law of angular momentum conservation. It's just shifted to where we end up in our new rotation, and then it picks up again and a new bulge forms. In the past, if you'll consult writers such as Hapgood or Hancock or any of the others who have messed about with this stuff, they seem to agree that we travel about 2,000 to 3,000 kilometers in our rotation on the surface of the Earth relative to the shift itself. So, for instance, if we were going to go north, where I'm at may shift 2,000 miles to the north and end up on the other side of the Arctic Circle, where Siberia is at the moment. Does that sort of make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Do you see this as a 2012 scenario?
Certainly.
Okay.
The reason I say that is because of Maurice Cottrell is this very interesting researcher who discovered all these kinds of hidden references inside the Mayan glyphs. I mean, thousands of repetitious, very unique numbers. These numbers exist in nature at the level of, say, the frequency vibration of hydrogen, which is a known universal standard. And so if you find a space alien and you need to communicate, you can always start with the frequency vibration of hydrogen because hydrogen vibrates at the same frequency whether they're in their home planet or ours. It's a starting off point. And these numbers are hidden within the Mayan sculptures and glyphs. They're not really all that hidden, but they are obscured because they really wanted to pass on information. And they wanted to do it in such a way that it wasn't out and about and didn't cause a different view of the information to arise. It would be very easy to take this information and not look at it the correct way. Maurice Cottrell found this information. Patrick Garrell, this other writer and researcher, refined that level of information and corrected some of the errors in Maurice Cottrell's thinking. Maurice Cottrell wrote such things as the Mayan prophecy, the Tutankhamun prophecy, and so on. And see, here's an example of it. The Giza pyramid is in the main pyramid in the Giza plateau, the big bugger there that everybody thinks is associated with the pharaoh Cheops or Cheops, and so they've named it that. It is aligned on a north-south axis that is just phenomenally accurate. We cannot align buildings as accurate today as that one is aligned. Yet, even though they had that level of precision, the sides of the pyramid are not the same. In other words, the north-south, the sides that face north and south are the same to each other, but they are different from the sides that face east to west. And the difference between those two is exactly the same representational, irrational number that is the difference between the North Pole measurement of the Earth, the polar measurement of the Earth versus the equatorial. So they were encoding some information. They were saying, we know that that we live on an oblate spheroid, not an actual sphere. We know about the equatorial bulge, and here's proof of it. We are putting it in this big pyramid so you can't mistake it. And you just keep going on and on and on about these kind of things. For instance, there is a measurement called an Egyptian inch. If you start at a particular point that everybody accepts as valid, and you count the number of inches in the Cheops pyramid, and you make one Egyptian inch equal a year, guess when it ends? The little tunnel ends in the year 2012. And so you find that there, and then you go and you find the same thing kind of in the Mayan pyramids and their glyphs, only they took a much more direct route. Their pyramid city of the universe, which has the pyramid of the sun and the pyramid of the moon, also has in it buildings that are at the exact level in a ratio between the building and the pyramid of the sun, as are the planets of our solar system and our sun. So they're saying each of these buildings represents one of the planets. And you start looking at all these kinds of numbers, and you see that they knew about this delta of difference between the rotation of the equator of the sun and the sun's poles.
We're going to have to hold it right there, Cliff, as we go to the break. When we come back, I want to talk about what this means for us here on planet Earth. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Cliff on the other side.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey, Republic Broadcasting. I'm Rob Gray, Executive Director of the American Open Currency Standard. Our team is hard at work here in Texas and across the country assembling the new economy, a system of trade built on honest money and American production. We're proud to report that we now have more than 26,000 merchants trading across the country and more than a dozen private silver currencies like the Lakota Nation and the John Galt. But the most stunning AOCS medallion by far is the new Andrew Jackson Anti-Banker, available right now at RepublicSilver.com. Log on to RepublicSilver.com and get your hands on the investment-grade 999 fine silver Andrew Jackson barter medallions and stretch your purchasing power in our extensive trade network. And be sure to stop by the AG Trading Post in Dallas, the only store that refuses FRNs, where you can trade your Jacksons for top quality goods. Be a part of it today at RepublicSilver.com.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back, everybody. You're joined by Dave and Annie. We're co-hosting the Common Sense Show tonight. Our very special guest is Cliff from the Webbot. And Cliff, as we went to the break, we were going to talk about what this is going to mean for all of us with regard to this magnetic shift that's coming in 2012.
Yeah, if you want to go up to our site at halfpasthuman.com and scroll down about just a little bit below a presentation page, you'll find a link for some of the material that we've been discussing and some graphics that illustrate a lot better than I can describe it. But basically the United States or North America, there's sort of two possibilities. There appears to be, and we've looked at this, I've looked at the information from previous pole shifts as it's able to be found, and there's actually tons of it out there, regardless of when you assign these pole shifts. If you just take the time factor out of it and look at the number of times that it's occurred, you see that there's certain clustering that occurs as the magnetic pole and the geographic pole merge and then separate later after the shift. And so I've made some conclusions which may be valid. One of them appears to be that the location of the Giza Plateau is very significant because that appears to be the center of the land masses at the current stage.
Yes.
And it has also apparently been the point of rotation around which the planet has shifted these last three rotational periods. So since we're still have these land masses, you know, if Australia disappeared or Asia suddenly grew a new arm out into the Pacific or something, it would alter the balance of where the centrifugal force is going to tug and so on. But at the moment, it appears that if we get the equatorial bulge to release and we become a sphere again, which is the point at which we can slip around, then we'll slip around the equatorial, or the Giza Plateau is our point of rotation. The last two times we've done that, we've rotated in a particular direction, so to speak, but the time before that, we rotated the exact opposite. So if we just were to assume we would continue in that same level of rotation, then it would have Canada moving down towards where Mexico is now, if we were to continue the same kind of direction as before. But that would be three times rotating in the same direction.
What period of time would this happen over when Canada shifts to Mexico?
Maybe as little as 40 or 50 hours.
You know, because it leads to a question I have, and I think this speaks to the impact of what this means for all of us. If this does indeed come to pass, as you're indicating it might, I remember reading about a woolly mammoth that was found encased in ice, totally out of its environment in Siberia, with undigested vegetation in its stomach, and it's been theorized it was part of the last pole shift. Do you know anything
Correct.
About that?
Sure, sure. Oh, there's tons of information that goes just to that effect, that the last pole shift moved Siberia into what is the frozen zone of the Arctic Circle. Everybody has to understand that the reason that the poles are cold has nothing to do with the angle of sunlight. That is taught in schools, and it's entirely false. The reason the poles are cold is because the magnetic force lines of our planet draw down highly charged particles, which in turn basically exclude air and, if you will, bring space in closer to the poles, causing it to be colder up there. The atmosphere is demonstrably thinner. And the magnetic poles bring down this high energy, and it freezes things very rapidly. This is independent of light. So it's quite probable that you could be moved into this band and freeze very quickly. And there's tons of stuff in Alaska in terms of the things that are currently frozen in the permafrost, as well as Siberia, to suggest that that's exactly what occurred. It was that 11,802 years ago, the rotation moved Siberia into what is now its current position. But prior to that, it was down, if you want to think about it that way, in the latitudes of where Japan is and was much more tropical.
Oh, my gosh. So we're basically looking at, what, a major shift in the face of the Earth? Humanity will essentially be destroyed. What, maybe a 90% death curve? I mean, do you
much
have any projections
than that,
on
I would
this?
Think 98% appears
98%.
To be. 98%. Yeah.
Yes, that includes the winds that could go up to 800 miles an hour in total.
No. See, there we have some issues. There are certain physical limitations that have not in the past pole shifts ever been exceeded. If you got winds of that speed, the atmosphere would heat to the level where we were looking at 2,000 degrees atmospheric temperatures, and the oceans would boil. This would cause all life to cease, and that does not appear to have been the case. So we do have some indications. For instance, the last pole shift ground up all these bones of all the of whales and cows, all kinds of creatures, of all humans, just anything it could find, and took them 800 feet up into some of these fjords in Norway and those areas. So we know, for instance, that was the height at which the maximum level of deposit was occurring from the wave. So we can actually postulate that the wave was probably not much more than a kilometer high. So we can make some assumptions. And those assumptions really don't go to the idea of life scrubbing 800-mile-an-hour winds, although we may well face wind structures that are probably 200 to maybe 300 miles per hour coming close to the surface. There's all kinds of issues there with the other things that are going on at the time that have a tendency to disrupt the atmosphere, such as the potential for a sinking continent, more land rising, disruption through mountains, and this sort of thing. But still, not a good time.
Which brings me about the archaeologist assassination and the secrets revealed at the antiquities found that would just totally change the written human history that we have. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, and actually that kind of blends into the alien wars thing. Those come in within our area of the officially denied things that are unknown. When I started this work back in 97, I wasn't smart enough to create a bin where we could just put stuff that's unknown or officially denied. I was rather naive and just went about assuming that the world was as had been portrayed. And that's when I ran into things like this. But the devices that we're seeing within our data are an archetype suggestion that there's going to be a leak of, if you will, ancient technology, maybe from previous civilizations, that's being kept under wraps. And it will happen during this next couple of years simply because things are so tight up against a very large fear boundary, which is 2012.
Mm. And then when you talk about the archaeologist getting assassinated, of course, that makes me think of Egypt and Hawass. I noticed.
Yeah, I was very careful about that.
Because
we don't, as a rule, we don't deal with names. We keep names and have this structure we call the model of model space. And that's the only place we really hunt for known personalities occasionally. And in this case, I don't have any indication that it would be him, but enough of the traits seem to point in that direction. And we're seeing strange stuff now. Along those lines that may prompt just such an act. Because, for instance, we now find out that they're building walls all around the Giza Plateau to prevent tunneling.
Yes.
You know, illegal, if you will, digs going on that they don't like, and they're have gone in a major control mode, all of which ends in the late 2012, by the way. Curious timing on that.
Cliff, could these tunnels be a search for ancient technology?
Correct, the supposed Hall of Records kind of stuff, exactly.
Yeah,
so.
Could be maybe looking for a way to somehow bypass or avoid what's coming?
I don't know that there's a feasibility of that. This may be, at first we were, the opinion was that the big squeeze was somehow related to the galactic alignment. This current structure of our thinking, that it's entirely solar dependent and relates to how fast the sun spins at the equator versus the poles, it rules out the need for anything extra solar, so it accommodates the more frequent pole shifts because we don't as frequently align with the galactic center. But it may be a natural part of the whole process of refreshing all the planets. In other words, our magnetosphere has been degrading for the last 11,000 years, and it's gotten to the point where it's got huge holes in it, and we're suffering the consequence of that through solar radiation. Without a recharge of the magnetosphere, we would progress to the point where it would degrade more than 80%, if you will, of coverage of the planet, and at that point we start baking out in radiation like the moon, and we would be a dead husk. So we need to have it recharged.
Is that what you're calling the sun disease?
Exactly. That was our first hints of this, was data in 1997 that kept showing the sun relative to disease. And over the years we've thought, well, maybe it means too much sun and everybody's going to get, you know, skin cancer. No, that didn't turn out to be it. Finally, it kept going to the point where it resolved down to the sun itself is diseased, if you will, but it's not like a malignant tumor or anything. It is like the word dis-ease in the sense that we think that because of the magnetic twisting, the sun gets all magnetically bound up and has to refresh itself by releasing this. And at that point, the huge magnetic bubble that hits us not only flips our poles over and causes all kinds of other disruption, but at that point does positive things like massively recharging the magnetosphere, which curiously, if you wanted to really get out into speculation in woo-woo land, what if our magnetic forces that affect the planet suddenly jumped 5,000-7,000% or greater? We could then postulate that some of these seemingly inert rocks that are extremely iron-laden could be subjected to magnetic forces for moving them, and all of a sudden building things like the pyramids becomes less of a hassle. Because, you know, we cannot duplicate those today.
Yes.
And there's huge slabs, for instance, one that currently underlies all of the Temple Mount turns out to be a giant monolith created who knows how many 100,000 years ago and moved into that position. And we couldn't duplicate it. We don't even have cranes that could lift the 1,000-ton arch that is standing up in Uruguay, I think it is.
Does the WebBot tell us anything about the powers that be and how they're going to try to survive this calamity?
Yeah, it looks like they're going to try underground. We have repeated sources within the powers that be that have gone to a huge ratcheting up of their fear levels on all different levels about all different kinds of things. But in the end, it's all backstopped by their impression that time is short. And it's difficult for me to convey what this is in terms of how we see it. But from our viewpoint, the populace of the USA entity, for instance, has a long-term view in it. People are talking about things at an archetype level that we pick up that go out 10 generations. You know, they're making plans that, even though we don't really think about ourselves as long-term planners, indeed have archetype language that goes way out. And we don't find that anymore with the powers that be. The minion class still has a quasi-way-out view that goes out, say, 2021, something like that. But the powers that be at the upper echelon level appear to have a fear backstop that runs right into 2013 and doesn't go much further.
So there is an end coming to the powers that be.
Well, they fear, I'd rather, I think so, but that's a conclusion, not a that's not necessarily justified by the reports at the moment. The data sources would seem to suggest that the powers that be themselves run into some serious trouble over these next 2 years because the chaos gets out of hand in a sense, and a lot of problems then roll back on them. Whether or not they survive as a group into 2013 is not anything I would care to really wager money on at this stage. I think that it may get to the point where if the revolution happens as we think, planet-wide, then there may be a powers-that-be hunt in 2011 that might be reminiscent of something like, you know, might be seen in the Bolshevik Revolution. We might see hundreds of thousands of people killed just because of their association with these individuals. Doesn't
this
necessarily
is what you mean
that
in
they...
the web bot by bankers assassinated.
I'm sorry.
This is what you're talking about.
Correct.
The web bot by bankers assassinated.
Yeah, and it'll be if we're correct. You know, we use have extremes of language, so usually it's not as dire as it comes out in our data. But if we're correct, it will extend the minion classes that will be identified as by the mob, if you will, of the populace gone amok, as being associated with the people that caused them misery. So it won't just be the super rich. It'll be, you know, their PR flacks and the, you know, the propagandists on TV had better watch out. Anybody that's well-known won't survive too long outside their local environments once things start getting really hot.
And you also mentioned... Go ahead, Annie.
The coup d'etat that you talk about by the military SOCs.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting.
And that's a strong... probability. We just don't have a distinct level where we can say it's, you know, 36% likely, because as with anything under those kind of conditions, chaos starts to rule and present more variables. But basically what we have is the situation where the powers that be are assuming their political minions will do as told and tell the military to corral the citizenry when it gets out of hand. And the citizenry will get out of hand because the powers that be will try and foist a global war on them, and it just won't fly. When that occurs, a schism is likely to occur within our military. The data would seem to suggest that, indeed, some of the military goes along with the powers that be, but that this is a somewhat limited section of the military, and it doesn't survive its clash with the other parts very long. And that as a result of which this, if you will, the middle ranks decide enough of this crud, and they take things into their own hands and form a what we can basically think of as a colonel's junta with a different sort of a variation on it.
Absolutely. Annie and I have talked a lot about that theme on the show. We don't believe the coming revolution will have a lot to do with the average citizen against its government. It'll be more military versus military. And that's what I'm hearing you say here.
That, there's a lot of that, yes, indeed. The average citizenry is going to be facing enough issues on their own. We don't have a lot of data, for instance, that shows civilian militias in conflict with National Guard units or anything like that. That's quite correct. We don't see that sort of thing.
So in the beginning, the way I kind of see it is the military going along with what the government junta, you know, tells them to do. But at some point, I would think pretty early on, they're going to get wise, they're going to become aware, and revolt on their own.
That's pretty much the way that it appears to us. And the revolt actually will start not as an absolute refusal, but a misdirection, screw-up, gross incompetence, slowdown, snafu kind of thing that just sort of rolls through the whole system. And then... that actually, in our data, seems to precipitate a hardening of attitudes that, when it is expressed in an imprudent and inopportune moment by some of the powers that be, causes the a hardened response in the form of everybody saying, okay, that's enough.
And we have a tax revolt, say, that might...
Yes, that'll precipitate.
Factors.
That'll be part of it because of the economic collapse that we're facing. We'd had this thing called a context change penciled in for the 29th of December. Now, for us, a context is a collection of potentially hundreds of thousands of words grouped in a particular way around a center. So, for instance, a context might be central banking, which has got like 120,000 words around it. Or a context could be Girl Scout cookies, which may have 2,000 words around it, something like that. Now, our previous time that we'd had a context change was around the wording for illegal aliens, and it was maybe 30,000 words at that point. And then a few years back, you'll remember, all of a sudden, illegal aliens burst out in the spring with marches, and everybody got whipped up, and for 6 or 7 months it was on all the politicians' lips and so on. That was a change in a context that we all had to live through the emotional repercussions of. And it ballooned from, say, 30,000 words up to well over 200,000 words associated with illegal aliens within the subpopulace or subgroup of the populace US of A.
Well, Cliff, let's hold it right there, because we come back, I want to know what the context change is going to be for the death of the dollar, gold, silver seizures, and the Federal Reserve. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Cliff and my co-host tonight, Annie, on the other side.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa.
And we're back with Cliff. Also joining me is my co-host tonight, Annie DeRiso, our chief correspondent for our Under the Radar News segment. Cliff, as we went to the break, we were going to talk about context change in regard to the impending events in the economy, such as the death of the dollar.
The context for us, the change had originally been forecast for the 29th of this month of December, but we always do post-processing after we have a report come out because then I can get a chance to process through the immediacy values and look at charts and stuff. And the immediacy value load that we've had this last time has shifted that context change forward to about 5:51 a.m. on the 19th, which I think is a Saturday morning. It's an interesting occurrence when it happens. The last time the context change happened, for instance, we knew it was coming. We knew there was going to be something. We forecast it 3 or 4 months out. But I never would have picked, personally, I never would have picked the illegal alien issue as being the point at which context change would revolve around. So bearing that in mind, that our guesses at the level of what might occur start getting into speculation. At this point, we think there's enough evidence to speculate that whatever the context change is will relate to the dollar. And as, for instance, you know, in support of that idea, I hear that the U.S. Mint is going to come out on the 19th, curiously, and make a pronouncement, something to do with gold and silver, probably that they ain't got none, ain't going to get no more, and aren't going to be producing eagles anymore. And if they actually come out and say something like that, as bluntly as I've said it, you can imagine that it would start a series of repercussions economically that would roll along and start to swell out our context in terms of the number of words that are being associated with gold and silver. And so that may be something that we're looking at as that level of an impact. But the context change itself will occur in the 19th and will probably extend in terms of its emotional repercussions all the way through to about July. And we think, of course, that it will be economically focused.
I saw a report today that said that the Mint was not going to put out any more ounce pieces of gold, so you may be right on that one.
Yeah, and I have to say that we've had for a number of years the words panic to buy associated with gold and silver. We've never had an accurate time frame. They've come in the longer-term values, but they've hung around for about 3 years now. And we have this little thing we call the Ure postulate, named after George Ure, who came up with it. That basically, the longer the time we see something in the data, the more emotional impact it will have. And so we could imagine a panic to buy gold and silver starting to overcome the United States and the world in the early part of January, or even in December, and the economic repercussions of that.
Well, also, there's a piece in there where you're talking about that we may lose our entitlements, Social Security welfare.
Yes. I imagine that that will be a natural consequence of the keywords we have for the economic impact on the federal government and then the state governments. And that word was coagulation, in the sense of like when a human gets thrown into water up here in Puget Sound or off the Gulf of Alaska, you've got maybe 30 seconds of life left if you don't have some kind of a suit on you and if you're there in the winter. And what happens is your extremities, as your body tries to save you, it shuts down and coagulates the blood in the extremities, figuring you can get those chopped off, but if it protects the core, you'll still survive. And so that, we think, is what basically the federal government's going to have to go through. Is chopping off bits and pieces of itself and just letting them flail off and die just to try and survive the economic crush that's coming.
Kind of makes the healthcare debate rather irrelevant, doesn't it?
Yeah, I haven't paid any attention to it at all. It's been very blissful.
Exactly. When we come back after the break, everybody, we're going to open up the phone lines for your calls to Cliff and myself and Annie, and we've got more to cover, but we'd like your participation as well. You can always email us at thecommonsenseshow@yahoo.com. I'll give out that number after the break. Stay tuned for these important messages.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first-of-its-kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour.